I've entitled this lesson today, Darkness All Around. And Pastor Bob, remember Pastor Bob and Sister Sharon, keep them lifted up in your prayers. They're doing fine, no problem. But he's going to be able, praise God, to take off a couple weeks. Paul Wren will be here next Sunday. Darkness all around. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, God, you know the circumstances and the situation of the world that we're living in today. And Father God, there's things that's happening within the world that just doesn't make any sense at all, especially in our nation. But Father God, you have heard our prayers. Lord, we have been at it for 4 years, more than that, since Pastor Bob started this concert of prayers, Father. We have lifted this nation up. Father, you have heard our prayers, and I want to thank you for that. And Father, I know there is a lot going on within our nation. There's spots of fires burning out throughout the colleges and places. But we never hear that much in the news. But Father God, I thank you, Lord, because we have a generation that will carry this nation through. Amen. And Father God, I continue to ask you to pour out those fires upon this nation. Lord, you know the turmoil and the trouble that I've suffered with this morning trying to get to this point in this position. Lord, please anoint me, Holy Spirit. Anoint these to hear, Father God. And anoint your word as it's spoken. And Lord, if there's anything that you don't want in here, strike it from our ears. And don't let me to say, allow me to say, Holy Spirit, anything. But lead my thoughts, my directions, and my lips. And Father, we just ask God to anoint this message, to open the eyes of where we're at in this day and this time within our nation. Father, we know that the battle is just beginning, and it's going to get worse. So we thank you, Father. Now anoint everything that goes on here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. I got a lot to throw at you this morning, if the Holy Spirit allows, so bear with me. 1 Chronicles, chapter 32. You know, the culture that we're living in, how do you think the culture that you're living in impacts you? Is there an impact on you about the culture we're living in? Sure is, isn't it? So, challenge. And Pastor Bob has been doing this since I've been with his ministry. Warns God's people of what's coming and where we are as a nation.
1 Chronicles
12:32. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 12, verse 32. So, this ministry warns you as God's people of what's coming. You're not in the dark.
Amen.
You know what's coming down the line. You have been well versed on that, well taught from the Word of God. Verse 32, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all of their brethren were at their commandment. Look at that. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had time, understanding of the times. Note that phrase, understanding of the times. These were men that had understanding of the times, okay? Times of what? The times that they were living in their generations that God had them living in. And they were to warn, to know what Israel ought to do. And these heads of the men of this tribe was 200. 200 brethren, and they were at their commandment. So this particular tribe of Issachar had 200 of these leaders. And the people of that particular tribe of Israel fell under authority of those men. Now, the key line, like I said, were they had understanding of the times they were living in. And I like to think that Challenge Ministries would be like that tribe of Issachar, letting people know, letting the church know of the times that we are living in. And we do that.
Amen.
We look in the Word of God. We understand the prophetic Word that God says to us and the history of the nations that have come before us that has gone by the wayside because they were given in to sin. Mm-hmm. And this whole world as we know it are laid with the clusters of those fallen empires, world empires, because they turned their back upon God.
Amen.
Much like this nation has done.
Yep.
But there is a spark of light, folks.
Amen.
Hang on, there's a spark of light. But I think, you know, you should be aware, if you've been in this ministry any length of time, what will impact our lives, our nation, our church, our families. But I don't think that most of the pulpits across America are teaching what is going to happen to this nation.
No.
And what is happening right now in this nation.
No,
so when it comes, you know, the people will be unprepared. But we're the Issachar. We're letting you know. We're letting the church know. And anybody that will listen out there in the airways.
Yes, sir.
To know what is coming. So this tribe, they were responsible when they saw the danger coming to go into the people, these 12 heads of those 200 heads of the leaders would go to the people and say, hey, time to wake up. Trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. Let's get to the Lord in prayer. That's what we do here. Challenge. Once a month, concerts of prayer. Concerts of prayer. We're warning the people of what's coming. Letting them know this is coming. This is coming. And how to start praying to God. And we've seen that happen. We've seen what was happening in the nation. And folks, thank God that a certain party didn't get the victory.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Because after this message, you'll understand why. The church is spiritually asleep for the most part, except for the remnants. Now, we're a remnant church. We're not the only remnant church, but for the most part, the church is asleep. And they don't know what's going on. Men in pulpits that are not alerting the people of the times that they are living in. It's not a feel-good message. It's not give money to build up these buildings. It's time to get serious with God. And the people get serious with God. But I'm so afraid that a lot of that is not happening within many churches. God's got great men. God's got great women in the churches. There are remnants out there that will stand the stand. Remnant ministries that are alerting the people of God and alerting the nation. Hey, this is coming. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. God's got great men and women all over this city, all over the nation, and around the world.
Amen.
And it's not over yet.
No, sir.
The skinny or the fat lady haven't sang.
Hallelujah.
You've heard that saying? It's not over till God says it's over.
Amen.
Now, there will come a time that everything that's in Revelations spoke of, Daniel and the prophets, it's going to happen. There will become a time. But I think that God has given this window of time, you know, and as we get on into this lesson, you better understand this window of opportunity that we've been given to. The Bible talks about darkness, folks. darkness. And if you remember back in when God created the heavens and the earth and all, and there was total darkness all around, it was void. And then God comes on the scene, and there was light. That's before He ever created the stars and the moon and the sun. And the light divided the darkness. So in the presence of God, there is light. Remember that. But there's darkness. The Bible talks about darkness that's getting ready to come over our nation and getting ready to come over our world. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. And in summary, I would say these verses speak to what's going on right now in our nation. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise. Now when I see that word arise, it means somebody's asleep. Okay? Somebody is asleep. Somebody's not up. Or somebody's not moving forward to do what they need to do. But He says, arise, shine, for the light is come. The light here, where's that light coming from? It's coming from God. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon them. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee. And His glory shall be seen upon them. On thee. There's darkness, folks, coming. There's darkness coming. And it's going to rise upon the people of who? Arise, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness, the people. So the people has become eat up, if you say, might say, with darkness. Remember how it was before the days of Noah? And the hearts of the men were evil. Evil. The darkness, filled with darkness. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon them. So look at this. I want you to look at the same time that the glory of God was shining on God's people, there was gross darkness in the earth. Got it? At that same time. It was all at the same time. And I would think that the glory of God was coming forward to shining on the people, that there would be no darkness. But there is. There's darkness. The darkness is those who are the children of the devil. Not God's people. So, but the darkness is there when the Lord's light is shining upon God's people. You should be starting to get a message right now. But there was gross darkness, it says. Gross darkness. It means that darkness was getting worse and worse and worse. Look at our nation. The darkness is what? Getting worse and worse and worse. The degradation of our nation's moral fiber character is getting worse and worse and worse. But God can take one man and God can turn a nation around if God's people would get behind. So as a leader is, goes a nation, folks. Look where our nation is because of leadership. Now, God puts the man in place, God removes the man or the woman. So, for those who don't like the one that God has put into place, it's not my problem. But go to God with it. Go to God with it. Darkness is coming. It's coming on the people of the world. But the glory of the Lord was shining upon the people. And I want you to see this. And look at our world today. And that's exactly what I see is going on. But I see there is a glimmer of hope. There is a glimmer of hope. There is a fire burning, folks, in the nation of the United States amongst the college generations. There is fire breaking out in revival all over the United States and some places around the world. But we never hear that in the liberal media. If it is, it's just a few words. So we're going to talk about that. America needs a spiritual awakening. If we use just the policies, if we use other man-made devices, America will never get back to where she used to be spiritually. Man can't do that. There has to be a change of direction for our nation for that to happen. And that change of direction has to be our nation led back to God, back to holiness unto God. And I think we would do well, and this ain't going to go over well, okay, but if many churches around the nation, if there's, quote, spiritual leadership, would get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit get involved, amen, we could see revival in the nation. But the revival is not some preacher coming in for a week and bringing a strong, good, hard message and see one or two saved. That's not revival. It's just a preacher coming for exhorting the people for 4 or 5 days. Revival starts within the heart of every member within the church.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
Not somebody coming and giving you exhortations. It's God's people falling up on their face, crying out before God because of the sin that's in their life.
Hello.
And saying, Lord, fix me. Make me right. I want to be right again. Remember when you first came to the Lord Jesus Christ, how on fire you was for God? Remember? Everyone you met, you wanted to tell about Jesus? Remember? That's what's happening in these colleges. The fire breaking out. What has happened to us? The coals have gotten a little dim, haven't they? It's time for a spiritual revival within the souls and the hearts of God's people.
Amen.
And that's why, you know, we know that God is saying, if my people, and you know the verse, who are called by my name will turn from their wicked way, go to the right way and pray that he would forgive their sins and heal the land. Please understand that what happens many times is when men prosper too much.
Hello.
All right? When men prosper too much and they become too comfortable, and women too, when I say men, I'm talking about
people,
male and female. They tend to forget about God. And finally, oh man, everything's going good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a nice house, nice car. We got money in the bank. Life is good. I'm self-sufficient. We're comfortable. Yeah, life is good. And what do? Forget about God. Well, you know, I can take care of that myself. Many of God's people have lost their dependence upon God. Why? Self-sufficient. Don't need to depend on God. They forgot God. We don't need God as much. We don't need to pray or seek Him as much. That's what happens. In other words, they've gone lukewarm in the spirit and they don't even suspect. Sometimes God has to allow spiritual darkness to come in order to get His people fixed back upon Him, to turn to Him. Oh God, God, where are you? Many times in Scripture, when Israel turned from God, God would allow or use foreign nations to come in and allow them to attack them. They would attack Israel in order to bring correction to Israel, and God was allowing that to happen. And it made Israel cry out to God. Wonder what He's going to send to this nation. You know, we got an election, but that ain't going to fix the sin problem.
Nobody.
Won't fix the sin problem. Sin is got to be paid for. God, where are you? Come on, oh God, help us out. God wants a relationship with us, but sometimes the sin in the life, he can't have that relationship because your sin is blocking him. Your sin has stopped his ear from hearing. And many times, we don't cry out to God. We forgot all about God until something devastation happens or something happens bad. Oh, Lord, 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 why did you let this happen to me? Get real. You don't want to serve God. You don't want to live holy. And when things happen, then you want to cry out to God. America's filled with that, folks. We may think that America as a nation has gone too far to where we cannot have the ability to turn it around, and that may be so. We can't. God can. God can. Never give up. Remember the little train, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I know I can. I know I can. I know you can. Because of Christ. Because God. We're God's people, folks. Amen. We're not the underdogs here.
No,
he has lifted us up on high, and whether we die today, tomorrow, or when, it doesn't matter because we're going to be with God. We are the winners, and we know what happens to Satan and his hordes. I ain't going to be part of that. Hopefully, you're not. But God is in control. No matter who won the election, God is in control. He will be in control, and he will see his word through to the very last tittle dot until the end. I want to do something for you. There was a man named Kenneth Hagin. He's gone to be with the Lord. He changed locations in 2003. Some may like him, some may not like him. It's okay. That's between him and God. But he had a prophecy in 1963. I'd like to read that for you. Because I feel, this was 1963, how many years is that? 61 years. 61 years ago, he had this prophecy. I'm going to read it to you. I had it to get up on the board, but evidently, Satan don't like it because the computer was having problems with it. But let me read this to you. Listen intently, okay? You don't have to agree with it. But listen to it and you tell me if it doesn't speak to the exactly day and the times that we're living in today. That he prophesied 63 years ago. Or 61 years ago. He says, yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and the Spirit of God moved upon me. The voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man. I went, as it were, into the air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked upon the ground, I could see a map laid out before me in the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked and said, behold, son, I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. I want to stop there for a minute. How do we know that a prophet's a true prophet?
If it comes to pass.
It's going to, if it's fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. After I read this, then you can tell me whether or not you feel Kenneth Hagin was a true prophet or not. For there came a dark hand out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept unto like a storm at the sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what is the meaning of this? He spake unto me and said, son, that is the darkness of the atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now. But the liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. I looked again and I could see upon the mountain a blotch as though a bottle of ink had been spilt and spread out over several states in the south and the east. And then I looked and I could see spots splotched all over the map. And I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause great turmoil than your nations has ever seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they walk without the love of God, and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have ever seen. And I said, O Lord, is there any remedy? Is there any remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And then I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, son of man, forget not your text. For you look at the things not seen. And at that time he was given a message, Kenneth Hagin was, and the title of his message was, Looking at Things Unseen. And the prophetic voice said, look at your text. Look at your text. For your texts are speaking about those things not seen. So it's a spiritual battle. The unseen world. And so I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth it got, the bigger it got. And then, when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire. And it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon their heads tongues of fire. When I first saw it, it seemed like that their whole heads were on fire. But it was tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go, and who shall carry fullness, the fullness of my truth and the fire. Not only to the states of this nation, but to every other place. For there is a work that must be done. First spiritually, before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand and is at the beginning now, and you shall see and you shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. And I said to him, he said, oh my Lord, may I have a small place to work? This is Kenneth Hagin asking. And he said, I shall cause thy tent to be enlarged. Yea, thou shalt have an enlarged ministry, and thou shalt minister to many where you ministered to a few. Therefore, go back to the earth, and be thou faithful, and give forth that which I tell you to give. And you, because you have been reluctant in the days gone by to tell it. Now, he's saying, I boldly speak it. It true, and for now is the day that it shall be so. So he goes on to speak this to his ministry there, and his ministry from that time had grown into a great ministry. It's now called Rhema Ministries. But that was a prophet. prophesied in 1963, 61 years ago. Now, I believe that this prophet, prophetic vision speaks to our time. Communism has the exact opposite ideals of America. Atheism is the exact opposite of Christianity. Notice it says that liberties will be taken from us. We've lost a lot of liberties. We have lost the liberty to pray in school, to display Christian symbols in public, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But notice, it also said that hatred amongst the races and great turmoil. Is that happening today? Racism and hatred is being pumped by the media.
Yes. Yes.
Almost every day. The secrets of men's hearts are being revealed. And turmoil, shootings daily, child sex traffickers, hurricanes, droughts. What are we to do as a church? What are we to do? We must be that army of fire anointed men and women who carry the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We must walk in love, not get entangled in the affairs of this world. We must be spiritual, prophetic people in this time. Guard your hearts, guard your minds, guard your lips. There is work to be done. This is taken from the renewaljournal.com. I went and looked up to see what revivals were happening. October 2024, Mississippi State University. Students at Mississippi State University say their lives are forever changed. After experiencing God's love at work during a massive worship event, Unite U.S. reports that nearly 6,000 students worshiped together at Humphrey College in October 1st. The night was marked by powerful prayer, repentance, water baptisms, and an atmosphere like heaven. Jesus met us that night at Humphrey Coliseum. Nearly 6,000 students worshiping there, confessing sins that had been holding them back, and experienced freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. College students, okay? October 2024, revival in Germany. An international evangelist says revival in Germany is breaking out as hundreds of people are getting saved, delivered, and healed, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Thousands of young people packed the Porsche Arena in Stuttgart, Germany, for the Fire Festival and over the weekend to praise, worship, and hear the Word of God. After a short preaching of the ABCs of the gospel, a dear friend said hundreds upon hundreds of young people came to the altar to give their lives to Jesus. And he shared in this international evangelist, he says, it's truly, it's harvest time in Europe, like right here in Stuttgart. And he says that Jesus March, they did a Jesus March, marching through the streets of Stuttgart, and said, Europe shall be saved, partnered with the Holy Spirit for that night for the event to reach the gospel to these young revivalists who will influence the different spheres of society for the kingdom. And he said, the last time that we've experienced anything like this was at Brownsville Revival in Pensacola almost 30 years ago. Remember that? Today it's here in Europe, he shared. And they're baptizing people in pools. And he said, I've only seen with my own eyes these thousands of people getting saved today. And water baptism, it's a glorious atmosphere. That's happening today, folks.
Amen.
October 24, Ethiopia. Christ for All Nation continues evangelistic and revival in Africa, and multiple thousands giving their lives to God and being displayed and discipled by local churches. There was a, Jesus continues to appear to hundreds or thousands in the Middle East. Christian Broadcast News says there was a hormone Hezbollah fighter recalled supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ that changed everything. He said, one day as I was praying, a man appears in front of me, normal size, but his being shines light, and this light is not a normal light, and this light carried identity in it, and he knew that this being was holy. And instantly, I knew I am not. In other words, he said he knew in the presence of this being how unholy he was as a man. Even though I had prayed so many prayers, even though I had fasted so much and read the Koran, and I had volunteered to work on landmines, or I had participated in hanging people to please Allah, I knew, even though I had kept all the rules and regulations of Islam, I knew I am not just, I am not holy, he recalled. And the Lord God Jesus Christ saved his soul.
Amen.
College revivals in America. Tens of thousands of Americans and universities and college students are continue to attend campus revival meetings across the country. Nearly 20 months after the 16 days of nonstop worship prayer in Asbury. Remember that one? Asbury, Kentucky. It set the fires blazing for a national revival movement among tertiary students. The fourth major college revival. In less than a month, thousands of students recently gathered at the University of Arkansas. An event to seek Jesus Christ and find salvation in His name. It was organized by the Unite U.S. movement, which reports that around 10,000 students from 67 different universities gathered there at the stadium in the city of Fayetteville. Jesus met us there. They were blown away by His presence in the room and how it carried over to baptisms. It was a night that we will never forget. The ministry posted on social media. It also reports how a young man shared his powerful testimony right there being baptized in the event, saying, I spent a lot of years running from God. I just came to Jesus about 5 weeks ago, but I got caught up in cocaine and alcohol, and I had a lot of really near-death experiences. And I think Jesus had His hand on my life because I should not be here today. One said, this was the most incredible night of my life. I want to give praise and thanks to God who moved in ways that we've never seen. Watching 10,000 students worship together on college campus was something to behold. Earlier this month, revival showed up at the University of South Carolina, where 4,000 students attended were baptized in the Landmark Library Foundation in the city of Columbia. And they said, the students ran to the altar before an altar call was even given. Hundreds made decisions to follow Jesus, and hundreds were baptized. God is moving on college campuses. And they're going to add that more than 2,000 salvations and 800 baptisms have taken place through the Unite U.S. campus since it began in Alabama's Auburn University 1 year ago. And they go on to say, I believe that this generation will usher in the greatest move of God we've ever seen, and we're seeing that happen. I do believe that what we had in the fall and the spring of this year is just the beginning. Greater things are coming. I feel for the end of this year and the leading into 2025 that something greater is coming. God is doing something across this nation. And I believe that this move of God on the college campuses is ushering in a greater awakening. Salvation for non-believers, hear a clear presentation of the gospel in a welcoming environment. Freedom for believers to know and experience true freedom from sin and the burdens of their hearts. For the students to find community and discipleship through connection to local ministries and local churches. That's happening. CBS reports that CBN, reports that campus revival is not just happening in the United States. There's a powerful movement of God at a church organized outreach at Corpus Christi, Texas also, and A&M University, and all over the place. Isn't that great news?
Yes.
That's the generation that will carry this nation through. Revival hits an army base. Revival across south of the USA. Revival forest starts in West Virginia. California Beach Revival attended by 1,000 in 2020. So, the word is getting spread.
Amen.
And you can see those little pockets of that prophecy from Kenneth Hagin, how that could be possibly coming true with that. Well, a little bit more and we'll wind up. I want to talk a little about socialism and communism. Socialists and communists, movers and shakers of the world, are trying to get the nations in position for the Antichrist to rule the world. That's what their goal is. Antichrist wants to rule the world, and I believe he will do it through socialism and communism. Why? Socialism means that the government owns the means of production, the business, and the industries. Communism is just one step higher. All properties belonging to the government, including your house, your business. The government will own it. You will no longer have ownership of your own home. Most people don't see that we are headed this way because of the liberal media.
Amen.
There was a black man, I can't think, he's a well-known actor, and he's up in years. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Somebody was interviewing him and they was talking about this racism. He said, hey, you want to stop racism? Stop talking about it.
Amen.
Media is just putting it in there. Because, why? It causes disruption in the nation. Why all the hatred between white and black race? Media pushing it. Why all the hatred between political parties? Media pushing it. Why all the hatred, all the crime in the streets in our cities? Why are the stealing, the acts of violence against the innocent? Why are so many peaceful protests ending violence and carnage and people's businesses and properties? And why is it when the police arrest them, they get thrown in jail, the next day they're out on the streets because the district attorneys have set them free to go back and do what they started with?
Amen.
Disrupting the peace of our nation. There was a man named Norman Thomas, founder of the American Civil Liberty Union. And there's nothing American about it. There's nothing about civil liberties about it. I remember years ago when I first joined Challenge, Pastor Bob was banging on the American Civil Liberties Union. Nothing American about it. It was founded by a socialist communist. He was a socialist communist and he was candidate for president back in 1948. It is alleged that he left this startling quote that will help you see what's going on in the nation today. So when I did some checking on it and I read the article that was in the newspaper, I said, well, I better run this by Snopes. Well, they said, we can't say for sure. There's no evidence that we can find that would back that the man said this, so we're going to declare it false. Regardless, if they declared it false, and if he didn't say it, it will paint the picture of how socialism has evolved into our nation today. Okay? Here's what he said, or here's what the article said. American people will never knowingly adopt socialism. But under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will become a socialist nation without ever even knowing what happened.
Amen.
Knocking on the door, isn't it? And I already told you about when I checked with Snopes. What is it, Snopes or Snopes?
Snopes.
So if you want to identify which side is the socialist side, which leads to communism, all we have to do is find out who the liberal party is. Ask this question: who's pushing liberalism? And you will know who the socialists are. What socialists will do is, they're very good at this, change the wording so the culture will accept their narrative and their agenda. What does socialist side do? They're brilliant at covering up their real intentions. You know who Margaret Sanger was?
Yes.
Founded the American Birth Control League in 1921. 1939, they sort of merged with the Birth Control Clinic Research Bureau and then renamed it to the Planned Parenthood Federation of the United States of America. Don't sound bad that way, does it?
No.
Not bad at all. Sounds innocent.
Yeah.
Just change the name. What it really means is we're going to help you plan your family by killing your babies because that's the main abortion center there.
Right.
They just changed words. So what has happened slowly and surely was just change the word socialism succumbed to the word liberalism. So what party pushes for liberalism? You will find out where the problem is in the United States. You will know who the socialists are and what their agenda for America is. Liberal sounds good because it sounds like someone is going to be generous. But what liberalism means is it's a political system that is willing to accept policies and behaviors or opinions that are not traditional.
Right.
What do you mean? In other words, we are going to move away from, I'm not talking about the church, spiritual, or biblical here, we're going to move away from what is tradition. We're liberal. We go away from the norm, not what's traditional. We move away from the conservative. We accept other opinions beyond that. So if the Constitution says one thing, we believe and accept opinions that go beyond that. So we will go beyond life. If your Constitution says conventional conservative moral values say that the life of the unborn baby is to be protected, give me a minute while I turn the page. Then we go beyond that and we will allow the unborn baby to be aborted.
Yep.
Foundation says we believe in a family, one man, marriage, together. Liberal says we're going to allow two men or two women together. And it goes away from the foundation of what is conventional to and what is traditional to conservative. Constitution guarantees freedom, but liberal says, well, we want the government to have more control over people's lives, and it's happening in Congress right today.
Yes,
tradition says we believe in God. We want God as part of our party. Liberals say we got Muslims, we got atheists, we got socialists, we got all these other folks who do not believe in God. So let's take them out of the party. Let's take God out of the party altogether.
Yep.
Take him out of the platform. It goes beyond the border. We have laws in this nation, and you know that, that protects the borders that says you can't come across the border illegally.
Amen.
But the liberal side said, well, let everybody come in, whoever they are, and we will make them a citizen and let them vote. And by the way, here's some money every month to help support them. Just stay here. I got to say this. My mom worked all her life, raised six kids by herself without the aid of a husband, because he run off, alcoholic, and divorced. So she raised us six kids. She out there in the farms, working in tobacco fields, working hay field, everything to support her family. And in her latter years, she finally gets into a HUD house, HUD place. And they're badgering her all the time about how much that little old car is worth and how much are you getting Social Security and SSI. And every account, she had to account for every penny. And then over here in the next apartment was a lady from Lebanon. She got hers for free. They gave her money to live there. And her son was living there, but they didn't know that. But yet she had to fight for every nickel and dime she ever had and paid into the system. Yet here is a person feeding off the government, getting more than she can. That's where we are as a nation. And that's why this speaks so much to me, because I know that's happening. So, why do you think they would let them come in, give them something, put them in places? Well, maybe they need their vote to stay in power. Yes. Didn't work, did it?
No.
Didn't work. Well, I say to the Socialist Party, it didn't work. America has spoken. America has spoken. We want a change. Oh, had the other party got into place, there would have been a change, folks. There would have been a big change. Here's the difference. When you are conservative, you love traditional views and values, you love God, you love your family, and you love your freedoms. It means that you want to stick to the old ways of the Constitution and what it says with those values, and you don't want them to change. You don't want them to move away from God. Because every part of the Constitution was based upon the Bible. It's not the verse for verse and all of that, but every part, men used biblical principles to establish the Constitution.
Amen.
It's meant to keep people free and not in bondage. The real battle going on here is behind the scenes, in the spirit realm. You know that. Satan's order of government versus God's order. So people of this nation has voted. They have chosen a conservative party which carries traditional views. They want to keep our freedoms and keep America a capitalist country, not a socialist or communist country. Look at Jeremiah 6:16. I'll be reading this from the New Translation, New Living Translation. Jeremiah 6:16. We're about to wrap up. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way. And walk in it. Travel in its path. And you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Please understand. Look at that again. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. In other words, look around at what's happening in your country. Ask for the old godly ways. And walk in it. Travel in its path. Travel in the old godly ways. And you will find rest for your souls. But he goes on to say, but you reply, no, that's not for me. That's not the road I want. I want this new way, this new way. You have to understand, child of God, regarding the tactics that the socialists and the communists use. They can't overtake America by force. We have an army too strong. Our forces are too strong that they can't come in and overtake us. So what do? They have to change their tactics. America is too strong for that to happen. They could never overcome us using force, like armies and stuff. So they change it. Their tactic is this: infiltrate the government system. We have communists and we have socialists in our government, in our local government, and they are working against this nation. Not trying to protect us, not trying to help us. They're working against this nation in our education system, in our businesses. They have infiltrated our government at the state and federal levels. Socialists and communists. Cuba and Venezuela used to be free nations until socialism took over. How do you think socialism is doing in Venezuela right now? Ruined. 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 I had a video that I wanted to play you, but it's not there. But it was ruined. Why? Socialism. So why do you think Satan is so working so hard to try to bring about a leadership within our ranks that would bring about socialism? Because it will destroy the nation. It will destroy the nation. He knows that pages and pages and pages of the nation destroyed where they took on socialism and communism. And communism, yeah, here, you tell me what I can eat today. Let's pray. Father, if I said anything amiss or that I shouldn't have, please strike it from the minds. But Father, we need to know. I felt that your people, your church needed to know just where we are as a nation, what's going on as a nation. And Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you that you stopped what would have been a turn that would have took us to nothing. Amen. Lord, I know that there comes a time where the Antichrist will have his reign. But Father God, I thank you because I know the prayers that we've been praying have been heard. And Lord, though it may be for a season, the hand of time has stopped that would have destroyed our nation.
That's right.
So Father, whatever's in the future for this nation, I don't know. But I do know if your people will continue prayer, continue repenting, continue trying to live holy, and when they do sin, God, that they would confess and get it right, yeah, that you will hear these prayers and you will continue. Even though the darkness is coming across us, Father God, your light will shine upon us. And God, I'm asking for those fires of revival to continue to break out, that they never stop, Father God. Lord, that this generation where this has started, God, burn out the dross in the hearts of your people. And Lord, that they may be about your business in these latter days. And I ask you to bless this message, bless these people in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Be blessed.